Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Windows 11 and Intel. Super Wildcard Weekend isn't over yet. It comes to a close tonight in SoFi Stadium as the Rams host the Cardinals on Monday Night Football. Game time temp, 61 degrees. Sounds really nice. L.A., the 3.5-point favorites. And we're so glad that you're with us here as Matthew Stafford and Kyler Murray in win-or-go-home situations. We'll tell you what to watch for with live reports from SoFi on the way. And, yeah, we got a big day today. We got a packed house. Marcus Spears, yeah. Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky. We get Ryan Clark on a Monday and a Tuesday. Also, Swagoo's thoughts coming later on the stunning Cowboys loss to the 49ers.
This is a serious situation.
He's got his dress shoes on because there's a lot to talk about. But first, guys, the divisional schedule is set. On Saturday, we'll see the number one seeds for the first time, the Cincinnati Bengals. Will travel to Tennessee while the 49ers head north to take on the Packers. Then on Sunday, the winner of tonight's game will head to Tampa to take on the Bucks, and that's followed by a rematch between the Bills and Chiefs. Let's get into tonight's game with something to watch for, though. Mina, you first.
All right, we know Matthew Stafford is going to feed Cooper Kupp. What I want to see is he also going to feed Odell Beckham Jr. It worked the last time these teams played. However, this connection has been up or down. 56% completion percentage when targeting Odell. Sometimes it feels like Stafford's forcing the ball to him, getting some of those picks downfield. But I believe for the Rams to win, Odell Beckham Jr. needs to emerge as a secondary receiver tonight.
I like it. I want to see Cam Akers tonight coming back off that injury. We saw this run game get stymied last week against the San Francisco 49ers. But I believe them tonight, the Los Angeles Rams, to win this game, Cam Akers is going to have to run the football really well. I also love to see him being utilized as a pass catcher, specifically in their play-action pass screen game. Cam Akers got to have a big game tonight for the Rams to win.
And listen, for me, it's about Zach Ertz. He's going to go up against the linebackers of the Los Angeles Rams who play more like backliners, and they also have lost both of their safeties in the middle and are playing backup. Can Zach Ertz work the middle of the field? He's been a top target for Kyler Murray since coming over from the Philadelphia Eagles. He's been productive. He's also uber talented, and the Los Angeles Rams are hurting in between the numbers.
Hey, yo, J.J. Watt, your brother scored a touchdown last night. What you going to do? I know he's coming off an injury. This is a big get for the Arizona Cardinals, especially interior pressure. Trying to get Matthew Stafford off his spot and make him uncomfortable is huge in this regard from what J.J. Watt has been able to do. And not only that, with a defensive line with Zach Allen and obviously you got Jones on the outside, this interior presence can change what they can do defensively.
Speaking of J.J. Watt, let's bring in Adam Schefter from SoFi Stadium. Adam, what is the latest on Watt for tonight?
Laura, moments ago, the Arizona Cardinals officially activated 5-time Pro Bowl defensive end J.J. Watt, who underwent shoulder surgery sometime in late October. He is going to play tonight. He'll be out there in certain situations. I would imagine on key third down plays when they're trying to shut down Matthew Stafford, the Rams quarterback, who's trying to come up with his first playoff win. But the Cardinals defense will get that boost tonight as moments ago, J.J. Watt officially activated, Laura.
Made the call knowing that we've got it. We're going to get some yards and then get down and we've got to clock it. Knowing that situation, something we've practiced over and over again. Went, got some yards, went down. As I was getting behind Tyler, saw 4 seconds left. Thought it was time, obviously, to make sure everybody was set. And then, honestly, just got hit from behind. And then still there. When I gathered myself, saw 2 seconds and thought I could get the snap and get it down before time expired. And unsure exactly what happened other than that.
I've never seen that come down, you know, the way it came down, you know, as far as the collision between the umpire and the quarterback. We were trying to get inside the 30-yard line to set up the last play. The mechanics were intact. I felt from our end of it, communication that I was given on the sideline that they were reviewing it. They were going to put, you know, time back on the clock. And the next thing I know that they're running off the field. So that's all. That's the only facts I have for you.
Marcus Spears, what's your reaction to the end of this game, especially after what you just heard there from Dak and McCarthy?
It's a culmination of what happened the whole season.
There you go.
Like, that's really what it boils down to. And we had this conversation. I talked to RC and Dan about this. We were on television. I was like, I'm not too worried about the clock management situation. Over time, you would think a coach that's been in this league this long, when it's glaring as bad as it was, would at least get that part of the game fixed. I actually, like, I've been going back and forth with the call. Like, I don't know if I'm mad at the call.
It's not an awful call based on the way the defense was playing. But you also have to understand the time part of it.
Exactly. And that is, to me, that's on the field. Like, that's something that Dak has to know. I got to get down a little bit early. But let me go to this point, and let me tell everybody. Y'all know how I am about the Cowboys. Love the Cowboys. But I'm always keeping 100 about them.
Yeah, you do.
All right? This team been this way. This offense that they showed was the offense that made us all worried about them being one and done in the playoffs, right? They played against the Eagles, and we talked about it last week. Needed to see some positive things happen. Needed to try to get on the same page. And then you come out. I didn't think San Francisco was going crazy defensively on the back end. That defensive line was taking over the game early and often. But really what happened in this game for the Dallas Cowboys, penalties. We've talked about that all season long.
14
clock management. We've talked about that all season long. And then a stagnant offense that somebody going to have to tell me that Tony Pollard was hurt. I need somebody from Dallas to call me and let me know that Tony Pollard was hurt. Because when you in a playoff for a one and done and one of your most dynamic offensive weapons gets six touches in a game. Go ahead, Mina. I got to save time for my people, man.
How injured Ezekiel Elliott was? Okay. They didn't lose this game because of Mike McCarthy. They lost it because the passing attack was bad and has been inconsistent throughout much of the season. But we know Dak Prescott's going to be the quarterback next year. They got time to figure that out. My issue with the coaching is what you just said, which is that these are problems that have been cropping up all year. Not just all year, within the game. Everyone is so focused on the draw, we're overlooking that earlier in the quarter, one of the stupidest things I've ever seen happen in a football game took place, which is after the fake punt. For some reason,
I have yet
to hear a coherent explanation for what happens after this. The punt unit staying out. And they're trying to get a timeout, I guess, for some reason. The Niners, who are a very well-coached team, comparatively, are like, no, what are you doing? So you got to get a delay of game. You don't run a play. More clock gets bled off. It's so frustrating because, like you said, these aren't issues cropping up out of nowhere. We've seen clock management, game management issues all year. This is the most penalized team in the NFL. They didn't just lay an egg in terms of penalties and a lack of discipline last night. This has been a problem. So I think at some point you do have to hold the coaches accountable.
Well, I think the biggest thing is the Dallas Cowboys have plans that can't be adjusted. And if you have a plan that can't be adjusted, then it's a bad plan. The Dallas Cowboys understood that they wanted to run that punt team out on the field, right? And then after the punt team, if we got the first down, we're going to keep the punt team on, and then we're going to run the offense on. That works if the defense isn't in punt safe.
Right?
Because if the defense is rushing the punt, now they have to take the punt return team off and run the defense on. They don't have to do that if they're in punt safe. And so that's the reason that the San Francisco 49ers weren't clicking out or weren't tripping, because they were in the defense that they could play.
And you in punt safe most of the time at midfield anyway. Right,
exactly. But you have to understand that if you're the Dallas Cowboys, it's not necessarily that they can't coach or that they don't understand football or that they don't go into games with a plan. It's that when they do get punched in the mouth or when that plan needs to be adjusted, the Dallas Cowboys haven't been good at doing that. The Dallas Cowboys worked on a play that should work if you have 16 to 17 seconds left, but it doesn't work when you have 14. They don't adjust that. They get the football, and now they have an opportunity to snap it. Dak sees 4 seconds or 2 seconds. He should know that he can't clock the football. He has to take a play. They don't adjust and do that. And so I think this has been this team the entire season, and now it shows up in the worst moment.
All right, we're going to get Dan's comments on this as well, but I'm hearing that Adam Schefter wants to get back in here. Adam, what do you want to add?
Well, Laura, I see that on the headline it says Cowboys can't get ball spiked in chaotic finish. Let me tell you what else Dallas can't do. Dallas can't win a home game on Thanksgiving Day against the Las Vegas Raiders. Dallas can't win a game against the Arizona Cardinals that are playing tonight that would have ensured that they played the Philadelphia Eagles in the opening round of the playoffs. Dallas can't get a sack. The great Dallas defense that we talked about all year long can't get a single sack against Jimmy Garoppolo, but the great Dallas offensive line can allow five. Dallas can't allow the San Francisco offense to rush the way that it did. Deebo Samuel to go for 9.9 yards on a play where they had to get 10 yards. Dallas can't get stops. Dallas can't go into the fourth quarter with 7 points having been scored only. Dallas can't do a lot of things. We could look at that last play all we want and blame the fact that they mismanaged it, didn't spike the ball, didn't allow the refs to touch it. There are so many things that Dallas didn't and can't get done to put the Cowboys in this situation where, for a record, an 11th straight postseason, they failed to advance to the NFC Conference Championship game.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it goes back to even what Swagoo said off the top of the show. This is a culmination of the entire season, to Adam's point right there. Dan, think about this Cowboys team, you know, despite all of what Adam just illustrated there, we felt like they could be a Super Bowl team, especially at times earlier in the season. Well, how would you describe what you've seen here?
A collapse. The reason we felt they could be a Super Bowl team was because they had a quarterback that the beginning 6-7 weeks played at an elite level, MVP level of football. They had a dominant offensive line. They could run the football whenever they want. They could throw the football whenever they want. They had a defensive player of the year candidate. They had the defensive rookie of the year. They had a $100 million receiver, a first-round receiver, a $90 million back, and a $140 million quarterback. The definition of a coach is to take a player from where they are to where they want to go. And when I look at this football team, I don't believe that Mike McCarthy ever did that for this football team. They are a talented team, but are they disciplined? No. Are they prepared? No. Is there ever a moment that we can look back at this season and say Mike McCarthy was a difference for this football team? Honest question.
Hey, was you ain't got to tell me, because y'all the ones that been fighting me the whole year when I told y'all he was the worst coach on the
honestly,
team. You, no, he's not.
Dan Quinn.
I'm not. I don't care about the management issues. All that stuff comes back.
My issue.
But I just didn't believe that Mike McCarthy's lack of ability to not only – like understand the moment, but after the moments happen, adjust to those moments and be better at them.
You were just going to say
I'm shocked that they couldn't.
I got you on McCarthy, bro, but it is a lot of issues. Like he obviously the figurehead going to get the brunt of it. It's a lot of issues with this coaching staff.
Do we love Bill Belichick because the New England Patriots win? He ain't threw a football. He ain't played defense.
Right.
You gotta get. It's gotta go both ways.
I got you, RC. But I'm sitting here.
Marcus, 14 penalties. 8 of those penalties either give a first down to the other team or take one away from you.
For sure.
I gotta listen, man. When you watch football games, okay, and you see the same guard. Here's where I say it's coaching. When you see Connor Williams get 3-4 holding penalties in week 7, and then he gets 2 or 3 in week 9. There's an adjustment that needs to be made in that particular situation.
Let me ask you this last question. Like, sorry. Do you not agree that something has to change in Dallas?
Bro, we ain't going to pay no bills today.
Yep, we got to go.
Yes,
something's
it does.
Something's got to change.
Go
so
ahead,
on that note, let's get Adam back in here. Where are we, Adam, with Mike McCarthy?
Well, Laura, last night Jerry Jones said that he was not contemplating a change. Today, Stephen Jones, his son, said the exact same thing, that they're not contemplating a change. Now, the interesting part will be, if and when the Cowboys are on the verge of losing Dan Quinn to another head coaching job, would that force them to reconsider their stance? But based on the Jones family's comments over the last 24 hours, no. They are planning to stick with Mike McCarthy right now. So despite the fact that some people are all worked up over the performance yesterday, over his performance during the course of the season, the Jones family to date has given no indication that they're willing to move on from Mike McCarthy right now.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. And as we said, we got more Adam Schefter coming later on in the show, so keep it locked right here. We're just getting started on NFL Live. You do not want to miss the rest of this show. Opposing teams should take caution if they're facing Patrick Mahomes. Duh, right? But someone's going to tell you why he is the most dangerous man in the playoffs. And later, the Eagles versus Bucks game may not have turned too many heads, yet Brady still had some record-breaking numbers for the season. So much more coming on the Bucks as we return in just moments. NFL Live is presented by Windows 11 and Intel. Brings you closer to what you love.
Intel. Reckon I'm better. Still on the
ground, it don't matter the weather. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Road to Los Angeles is brought to you by Discover, exceptionally common sense. And the Road to Los Angeles Super Bowl 56 set for the AFC next week. The Bengals will take on the Titans and the Chiefs will host the Bills. Let's go back to how we got here, starting with last night's game in Kansas City. Slow start for the Chiefs. They had an offensive explosion, though, after that, throwing five touchdowns in less than 12 minutes of game time. In the end, Mahomes recorded his fourth career game with 400 pass yards, five touchdowns, the most such games in NFL history, including playoffs. His tight end Travis Kelce also made some history, becoming the first player to have 100 receiving yards, catch a touchdown, and throw a touchdown in a playoff game. All right, Travis Kelce out there just doing the most. RC, what stuck out to you about the Chiefs' offense that helps them once again down this postseason stretch?
It was early patience, right? You come into this game, you saw the way that they dominated the Pittsburgh Steelers defense in their previous meeting, and you expected the game to start out that way, but it didn't. T.J. Watt was making huge plays. You give up a fumble, and it's a scoop and score. And so Patrick Mahomes had to be patient. The Kansas City Chiefs had to be patient. And then you started to see some of those explosive plays. And I was also excited to watch Patrick Mahomes uses his legs. So many times we've seen this become a part of his game during the playoffs, and it's paid dividends for this offense. But when he moved, he not only moved to create big plays down the field, he moved to get first downs. And I did love his accuracy on the explosive plays, whether it was the double move by Pringle, the inside fade by Tyreek Hill, or if it was the scramble to hit the plastering, right, or the uncovering Travis Kelce for the long touchdown on 3rd and 20. I thought that Patrick Mahomes was amazing in this game, and he's going to need that in this duel with Josh Allen.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. Listen, I hear all the time, bro, about these boy geniuses and these new age offensive play callers and all of that. I watched Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy self-scout themselves all season long and figure out how to get this offense back on track.
Yeah.
While looking at this game against Pittsburgh, RC and L Boogie, all I was thinking was the Steelers have no idea what's coming at them. These plays that they made defensively were individual performances.
Yeah.
But outside of play calling, what Andy Reid and the spin cycle that he put this defense in, using Tyreek Hill, DeMarcus Robinson got in, involved, Pringle, they used McKinnon out of the backfield, lined up Travis Kelce at quarterback in certain situations.
Wait, no, Andy, I didn't like that. Was disrespectful, though. No, they started throwing passes with tight ends.
But still.
They catching balls with tackles.
But the play was phenomenal.
T.J. Watt didn't deserve
that. The play was phenomenal. And I saw the DB like, what the hell I'm supposed to do against that? First of all, you knew what was going to happen. I didn't. That's why mine's hurt more. But the bottom line is this.
Yeah.
When we get into these conversations about these elite play callers, and I know everybody already like understands that Andy Reid is elite at what he does.
Still doing
But watching that game last night told me about a coach really, really identifying what we do to hurt people and sticking to it and kneeling it in. Because a lot of our conversations about Kansas City earlier this year 100%. Was everybody know what y'all doing.
You know, when I saw them week 18, the Chiefs said, we really, from the coaching staff standpoint, we really looked ourselves in the mirror and we took a ton of that blame, which as a player, you got to think, if I know that my coaching staff is looking at it way, and then by the way, the results are there, they scheme it up better for me, that works out really well. All right, let's get to the other side of things as we continue to talk about the AFC in the divisional round. The Chiefs will have to take on Red Heart. I guess he has a red heart. I don't know. Josh Allen, he's been red hot, coming off an absolute beatdown of the New England Patriots. Allen diced up that Bill Belichick defense for five touchdowns. It was unbelievable. He's truly unstoppable. 47-17 is the final score in this one. Dan, anything on the field that Josh Allen can't do right now? Because I'm trying to figure that out.
No, and that's kind of his mindset. I really think when Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Bills, uses him this way, he becomes indefensible. He's a three-tool player. I'll beat you with my arm, my mind, and my legs. You want me to take the short, easy completion? Great. You want me to have to scramble because there's nothing open? I can do that. The ability to throw any type of throw, man coverage, crossing routes, having the guys run away from defenders, push the ball downfield and be aggressive with it. You see the pump fake and holding the safety and then taking that shot. The designed runs that are utilized in this offense, he's almost like Shohei Ohtani for the Angels in that way. Like, legit, there's
like
nothing he can't do.
Like
and when Brian Daboll kind of deploys him as a weapon, that's when this offense is at its best, and everyone, we've talked about it ever since that second half of Buffalo, it seems like that's really what they've done, and it really has helped their football team. And to your point, Laura, I just don't think he goes into the field or into the game thinking there is not a play, not a throw, only, but a single play that I can't make.
The Ohtani comp is so good because I feel like he could play linebacker as well.
Yeah.
Yes. What strikes enough. Me about this Bills offense, in addition to Josh Allen playing God-level football right now, is the run game. Because this was an offense that much of the first part of the season not only couldn't run, but wouldn't run.
Right, yeah.
Refused
Absolutely.
To run. So a lot of that is Josh Allen using his legs. He's been incredible. But it goes beyond him. This run game is now diverse, productive. I mean, you're seeing Devin Singletary here. Look, he gets a lot of light back boxes. A lot of gives on the RPOs go to him, and he gets yards that way. But also, it's Brian Daboll finding ways to use their personnel, whether it's the fullback, Reggie Gilliam, who we were talking about earlier on the Devin Singletary counter run touchdown.
I said, who is number 41 for the Bills?
She's like, I got you.
He got the most snaps in this game than he has in 2 months.
Yeah.
It's Isaiah McKenzie getting three end-arounds for 9 yards a clip. I mean, suddenly, it's not just Josh Allen. You have to defend every player on this football team, and that is a problem for Kansas City.
Yeah, we were talking about coaching with the Chiefs. I think Brian Daboll has made a lot of improvements. Yeah. We didn't like the way he was scheming up some games earlier in the year, and that's changed. All right, still to come, Joe Burrow has proved to us he isn't just an athlete. He's Pablo Picasso on the field. And this is Dan's analogy.
Come on!
Joe Pablo Burrow. By the way, I didn't know that Dan knew who Pablo Picasso was, so taught me something
new
there.
That's because you judge me.
Yeah, anyway, that's coming next. You're watching NFL Live, presented by Windows 11 and Intel.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Coming this week on a special wild card edition of Monday Night Countdown, we're going all access with Matthew Stafford.
It's my first year in a new team, in a new city, and I'm excited about the chance to go out there and play a home playoff game. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Plus, we're hitting the field for a pregame interview with Cooper Kupp and going one-on-one with Kyler Murray.
I look forward to the next game, and that's how these guys do too, so the next game is most important.
Kick off your Monday night with Countdown at 6 Eastern, followed by the Cardinals and Rams at 8 on ESPN and ABC.
Just about an hour and a half away from Countdown, and time now from Field Report, brought to you by Windows 11 and Intel. For that, we welcome in Lisa Salters. Lisa, what are you hearing about J.J. Watt's potential return tonight after missing the last 10 games?
He's coming back, Laura. Listen to this. A torn labrum and rotator cuff, a separated shoulder, and a dislocated bicep. That's how much J.J. Watt blew up his left shoulder back in week 7. There was so much damage done that doctors basically had to reattach everything. And Watt wasn't expected to be back on a football field for 4 to 6 months. But just 10 weeks after having that shoulder surgically rebuilt, Watt is set to play in the first Cardinals playoff game in 6 years tonight. He told us he doesn't have any shoulder soreness or pain, but he does have to wear so many protective braces that sometimes, he said, his left hand goes a little bit numb. That's how much that thing is shored up. Cardinals coaches told us there's no real snap count for Watt tonight. It will kind of depend on how the game is going and how he feels, but he'll likely be used on passing down situations. But no matter how much or how little he plays, Watt's remarkable return was fueled solely by what he said was the desire to win a Lombardi Trophy. I was brought here to be a great leader and a great player, he said, and that's what motivated me most to get back. It really is just incredible.
It's truly remarkable. I'm not sure how he even had a shoulder left after all that, Lisa. Everything you went through there, I mean, I certainly wouldn't have. But anyway, yeah, that's why I'm here and not there. And Marcus says he has a new shoulder. So Lisa maybe can report that later in the game. We'll see you on Countdown. We'll see you tonight on the game on ESPN and ABC. Thanks so much, Lisa. And tonight during the NFL Super Wild Card, tune in for the world trailer premiere of the all-new Marvel Studios original series Moon Knight.
These look hard.
Coming soon to Disney Plus.
The
Do
music.
Not
you know
miss
I'm gonna watch that.
Coming your way.
You know I'm gonna watch that.
Let's get back to Super Wild Card weekend. The Bengals into the
NFL's longest active drought without a playoff win, picking up their first postseason win since the 1990 season on Saturday against the Raiders. Huge reason Cincinnati's finding success lately due to the connection between Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Right after a midseason lull, the two have been on fire since week 16. In fact, over their last three games together, Burrow recording a 98 QBR, completing 79% of his passes while averaging nearly 15 yards per attempt when targeting Chase. And Burrow's like, hey, Chase, where you at? All right, cool, I'm going to you. Dan, what did you take away from watching Joe Burrow in his first NFL playoff game?
Yeah, Joe Burrow, to me, is Picasso with a rifle. Like, I mean, he's constantly painting art pictures.
With a gun?
With art a pictures. Gun. Think about it. Like, I look at quarterback play and I'm who, what, where, when, why, how. And I think Joe's doing that as good as anybody in the NFL right now. It's like, who do I throw the football to? Well, that's depending on what the defense is. What, you know, what kind of throw do I have to make? Where? Where's the ball placement supposed to be? When? Like, that's the timing of it. How? Like, what's the rhythm of the play? When you watch Joe play, I don't know what quarterback comes to mind for me other than Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Steve Young, when it comes to getting myself out of bad situations and also playing on time at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, usually when quarterbacks have to get themselves out of bad, they're late to stuff. Joe is doing it and also playing on time to stuff. And that's why there's such a consistent pace to this offense right now. It's really right now, it's poetry offensively, how good he's playing.
Yeah, we say it cliche, but fellas, when do you get good at football? When the game slows down.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's playing with this type of, first of all, the whole NFL, he does not care, okay? Joe Burrow plays football to win only. He don't care how it needs to be done or who it needs to be done with. He plays football to win games, sure. Not to have a great QBR or 500 yards passing. I'm going to figure out how to win this football game. Me and RC watched it at LSU.
God,
so many times.
It.
How many times? And then the second thing is, fellas, I'm watching this game, and this has nothing to do with analysis. That looked like a 10-year vet in the playoffs for the seventh time with no pressure at all, knowing, like, we're going to win. I just need to make sure we don't make any mistakes.
You saw a couple times quickly. You saw a couple times when he throws the football away or takes the sack in the red zone.
Bro.
You're not doing that unless you're so confident.
You're confident.
We'll be okay.
Like,
that's the right play right now.
Well, I think a lot of that is the fact that he's been through a lot, right? This isn't one of those five-star babies who got the starting job the day he walked on. He walked on the campus at Ohio State, right? This is a dude that had to transfer. This is a guy who had to earn his way on the team at LSU as a starter. And then you 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. So he's a grown man. He's also older than Lamar Jackson. Let's not forget that.
True.
Right? Joe Burrow is a stinking adult, right? And he has the connection that he has with Ja'Marr Chase, to me, is second only to Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. And I know that's sacrilegious in a lot of ways because there's so many people that have done it for longer. But when you watch these two in a one-on-one matchup on the outside, they win more than anybody. And the other part about this game is, though, it can't just be about those two. Right? Joe Mixon needs to be involved. T. Higgins needs to be involved. Tyler Boyd needs to be involved. And you saw that from those stats we saw earlier. So I think in the second half, they kind of got away from that and they weren't as successful. You can't do that against the Tennessee Titans.
Let's go to the other side of the ball, though, for Cincinnati, because, Mina, there's someone on their defense that you think needs a little bit more credit and attention.
Well, a few players, actually. I think at every level, they had a guy who stepped up and played at a superstar level. Up front, my son, Trey Hendrickson.
That's your son.
We don't know what his status is, and that is something we are going to come back to because he is so important to this defense. Like, he could 100%. Swing an entire game. The pressure
just
evaporated.
Might not want to lock Foster
Moreau up on it. The pressure up front basically evaporated when he went off the field. So his status is up in the air. I thought Jermaine Pratt, that linebacker who, of course, had the interception to steal the game, was outstanding. Mm-hmm. And then in the secondary, Jesse Bates had his best game of the season.
Been waiting on that.
And I actually mentioned in our meeting, hey, I feel like Jesse Bates played a lot better than he has all season. And Buggy, our stats guy, hit me with that he in this game had three PBUs. He had four PBUs all year.
Wow.
So talk about stepping into like the big moment and playing up to it. He was outstanding, and he's going to need to be outstanding going forward for them to keep playing.
So with the win, guys, Joe Burrow joins Michael Vick and Andrew Luck as the only number one overall picks to win a playoff game within their first two seasons.
I think it's the best first two-year turnaround in the NFL history.
Thanks to the art pictures that Joe Burrow is painting.
Yeah, you can see the belief in this team because he's a quarterback.
Yeah, let's get Adam Schefter back in here for the latest on some of the injuries from this weekend. We start with Nick Bosa. What do we know, Adam?
Well, Laura, we saw Nick Bosa go out of the game yesterday after suffering a concussion. And now the 49ers play on a shortened week in Green Bay on Saturday night. Nick Bosa will have to clear through concussion protocols before he's allowed to return. And those concussion protocols are tricky. You just never know how they're going to go. They're put into place to design player safety. And we'll see whether or not Bosa can make it back in time for Saturday night's game. And similar story for Fred Warner in the sense that he suffered an ankle injury during the game against Dallas, went out of the game. A lot of people were worried it was his knee. It turned out to be his ankle. He tweeted today, sorry to alarm everybody, he thinks he should be back on Saturday night against Green Bay. And the Buccaneers offensive lineman Tristan Wirfs was in a walking boot today after injuring his ankle Sunday. Bruce Arians says it's going to go all the way up to pregame warmups to determine whether or not Wirfs can play Sunday against the winner of this game here tonight in Los Angeles between the Cardinals and the Rams in the first ever Monday night wild card game, Laura.
We can't wait for the game tonight. That Tristan Wirfs injury is really, really important. The second that happened, we were all like, oh boy. So we'll keep an eye on that. More Adam coming your way, so don't miss that. And we also got something big coming up next. So what's coming, Swagoo? Tell us.
That BMB, you already know it's Monday. So I dressed in business attire because today was a little different. But the big fella still was getting off. This is the phenomenal play design. The big fella catches it with his hands, and he don't know where to go after that because we are so unused to being in the end zone as much as we've been this year. But I got some more coming up for you. I just want to show you that one because it didn't make BMB. So you know it's damn good.
Oh, it's so good. The big man don't know where they are sometimes. You're watching NFL Live presented by Windows 11 and Intel.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lift every voice and sing.
When I think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s life, I think about the lessons that you can learn from his lifetime and all the amazing things that he did to help change a generation, help change the world. And what he stood for was equality and giving everybody a fair chance.
Catch the biggest names and brightest stars rep their team, their city, and the NFL at the 2022 Pro Bowl presented by Verizon. Sunday, February 6th at noon Pacific at Allegiant Stadium. Buy your tickets today at ProBowl.com.
Some aminals on here. This is BMB for Monday. Be a special edition.
It's the best segment on television.
Go ahead and get this thing popping. Let me introduce y'all to the big fellas that made plays on Sunday. Balling like it's good. Not today, damn it. What AI did to Jordan. Look at him,
Kevin Pass.
Marcus Fitz Jr. with the rip club. Go get the quarterback. We the best damn athletes in the world. We need water and oxygen after we ball. Big men be ball. Yeah, I'm about to dedicate this BMB to Dr. King because all these big fellas had a dream and it came to fruition. RC, I got the first one. I need RC on this one. I got the Pittsburgh Steelers in the house because something good happened for them last night. And it was between the two superstars that they got up front.
Bring them up.
My man Cam Hayward and TJ Watt. The connectivity of this play. Cam, keep playing. Ball on the ground.
Get it out.
TJ, scoop. Break the tackle, get to the end zone, and now watch TJ slide. I have a dream that TJ made it come true. But look at the big fella. ball on top. Look at the athleticism. Look at him over 260. He may be over 260.
He's like a medium.
Yeah. Now get the hell out of here, okay, RC. Second, my man, dog. Listen, I don't know what the Buffalo Bills had against the New England Patriots, but they wanted to score, like the old folks say, every which way. They wanted to score a touchdown. This was the big fella getting in the end zone. Look at Josh Allen confidence throwing to the big man, because we got hands, and we're not going to drop it. And when you call a play for us, it's way more important than all of the other plays, because we only get one shot. And last but not least, welcome back, Shaq B. This is a phenomenal play. Jalen Hurts, I don't know if any quarterback would make this throw outside of you on this particular day, because the big fella needed one. He got called out earlier this season by Bruce Arians about not getting to the quarterback. He told B.A., I got you. I'll pick the rock off in our first playoff game. Hey, I'm telling y'all right now, don't look. And Tampa D rounding in the form.
I love that they're gone now.
Balling.
You're just rubbing the eye and the A right there. Oh, man. Hey, by the way, RC's counting over here because you kicked him out. Great stuff. While Barrett and the defense got it done for Tampa Bay on Sunday, Tom Brady put on a quick passing clinic. The Bucs quarterback averaged just 2.17 seconds per attempt. That's the fastest by any player in a game this season. He's on fire, and we got a whole lot more coming your way on NFL Live. RC thinks the Cardinals' game plan will be predictable tonight. Will they fall into some old habits or prosper for the playoffs? Is anyone picking the Cardinals over the Rams? That's coming your way next. NFL Live is presented by Windows 11 and Intel. Brings you closer to what you love.
Intel. Who got the power? We got the power.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tonight on ESPN2, the NFL Super Wild Card with Peyton and Eli. They'll be joined by Larry Fitzgerald, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Russell Wilson. All kicks off at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus. We'll also be with you with a mega cast coverage on ESPN Plus, along with the Daily Wager crew. So NFL Live crew will be with you tonight. It's called Between the Lines on ESPN Plus. ESPN Deportes brings you a Spanish language version of the game. And of course, you can catch it all Monday night playoff game on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN Plus. Tap in on the Plus. All right, for more on tonight's game, let's welcome in Lindsay Theory live at SoFi Stadium. Lindsay, the Rams are down two starting safeties. So what's the expectation for Eric Weddle tonight after coming out of retirement?
Laura, Eric Weddle learned that the Rams wanted him to come out of retirement when defensive coordinator Raheem Morris asked on the phone, "You're not fat and out of shape, are you?" Now, despite not playing in the NFL for 749 days, Weddle says that he's continued to train like he's playing football. Now, questions do remain what kind of game shape he is in tonight, but Coach Sean McVay is remaining positive, saying he's probably fresher than he's been at this point before in his career. I asked Weddle what his expectations were for his return. He tells me that he's certainly ready to play a role and that parts of the game have come back to him like second nature. The Rams will rely on Terrell Burgess and Nick Scott to step up, but Weddle will play a role. McVay tells me they will take that one snap at a time.
Thanks so much, Lindsay. And to that point, one of the key matchups to watch tonight is Kyler Murray against the Rams defensive coverage. In their previous meetings this season, they met twice. Murray excelled against zone coverage while struggling against man. In fact, his QBR dropped by more than 50 against man compared to zone, but the Rams also highly utilized zone coverage this season, running it on 68% of their opponents' dropbacks, the second highest rate in the league. So, Mina, how the Cardinals pull off the upset tonight as the Rams are 3.5-point favorites?
So Eric Weddle might be coming out of retirement like John Wick, but the real assassin is Kyler Murray throwing the ball over the middle of the field. Y'all gotta look at this.
Wow.
He is deadly between the numbers, and that is a problem because y'all have heard me say all year long that if you're playing the Rams, this is the area of the field you want to target. It's where the linebackers play. However, now with both starting safeties out, this becomes a weakness, and oh my God, look how good Kyler Murray is throwing the ball to that part of the field, passer rating of over 134. That is absolutely insane. I expect a healthy dose of Zach Ertz in this game. And frankly, Ryan, I don't know how the Rams stop it down to their backup safeties.
Well, I think if you're the Los Angeles Rams, you have to look to Jalen Ramsey. How will you use him? Right. If I'm Raheem Morris, I look at playing him at nickel, but you can also take the strength of the formation to Zach Ertz, or you can use him as the dime as you lose Taylor Rapp. But the problem is they're so thin on the back end. But we know one thing about Jalen Ramsey. He matched up against Zach Ertz last year, and he behaved as if Zach Ertz had shot his dog. And we all know how that made John Wick react.
Yep.
It was all out effort. It was press coverage, and he made it hard for Zach Ertz to get off the line. Raheem Morris has to understand if he decides to play zone and you're going to match up those linebackers and safety against Zach Ertz in the middle, Kyler Murray is going to eat you up all day. Mm-hmm.
I want to see Kyler Murray in his bag. And I'm not talking about throwing the ball. I'm talking about Kyler Murray being the dynamic playmaker that he is in the NFL. That's what it's going to take in playoff football. If Kyler Murray understands, I'm not going to drop back and with my arm and beat the Los Angeles Rams. Aaron Donald is going to beat his man, Kyler. He is going to beat him.
3 seconds.
You got to beat Aaron Donald.
You got accepted.
Von Miller is going to beat his man. You got to beat him. And when we've seen Kyler Murray go to the next level, MVP discussion, we didn't come in here and talk about how dynamic he was pushing the ball down the field. Obviously, that's been a part of it. It's been those eye-popping plays early in this season that had us thinking that the Arizona Cardinals was going to be a team to end up in this exact position. It's all on display tonight, big dog.
John Wick speed or the replacements?
John Wick.
All three of them. I'll go with the replacements. I need three things out of the Rams
Shane
tonight.
Falco. Classic.
I need three things out of the Rams tonight. I need commitment, I need cleanliness, and then I need you to charge. First of all, commitment from Sean McVay. I need you to put two tight ends in the field and run the football with Cam Akers and Sony Michel. Force the defense for the Arizona Cardinals to not know what the play is going to be, run or pass. Don't make it so obvious. Demand that those guys play a disciplined brand of football. The cleanliness has got to come from Matthew Stafford. It has to. You cannot give the football away. You've got to be ready for third down blitz packages and getting the ball out to players in space. And then charge number 33, Antonio Hamilton, the defensive back for the Arizona Cardinals. I'm not being a jerk, but go after him.
Oh, boy. What's wrong with his shoes?
What were you pointing at?
What's wrong with his shoes?
What's wrong with my shoes?
We can't all have shoes like you. Golly.
No, let's pick the
game, guys.
My kids
are 45 years old.
Let me just say, guys, I think I want to make a change here. We're going to pick the game, and we're all on the Rams. I'm going to pick the Cardinals. Yeah. Can I do that? Can you guys change mine? It's fine if it's not updated, but just so everyone knows, right now, I am now picking the Cardinals.
I'm tempted to pick the Cardinals.
Well, thanks to what you just showed on that
chart.
Me and Mina and I were walking today,
and I was like, I'm starting to think Cardinals because of all the same things we're saying about the Rams defense.
All right, but who are you picking, though?
The Rams, though.
Oh, okay, fine. What about you, Mina?
I am going with the Rams, but I think it's going to be really close.
I'm nervous about this safety situation. I'm still going to Rams, but I am nervous about these safeties not being available.
I'm going with the Los Angeles Rams. I'm not turning my back on the quarterback. I expect them to play well. They're the better football team. They're the better coached football team.
Kyler Murray will not call him after the season for one of those vacations.
Stafford face.
Oh, boy. There we go.
You should just put Stafford face up there.
Mine says I picked the – mine's not on there.
Are you hanging with the Cardinals?
I'm hanging with the Cardinals. No, I totally changed my pick to the Cardinals. All right, I believe we have some news from Adam Schefter before the end of the show here. New on NFL Live. Let's get this one in. The Raiders still have head coach Rich Bisaccia and GM Mike Mayock in place, but has not stopped Las Vegas from looking. The Raiders requested permission to interview Patriots inside linebacker coach Gerard Mayo for head coach, Patriots director of personnel David Zeigler for the GM job. That's per a source. So thanks to Adam for all the news there. Interesting as we
so get gone. Did they get fired on their day off?
That's honestly, it's got to be very weird.
They should keep Rich Bisaccia as the special teams coach.
Well, right, and I don't know. I guess the question would be, would he want it? But it seems like he probably would.
Didn't Schefter just report they are interviewing a GM and a dude to be the coach?
Yep.
But he ain't going to be the damn coach.
Well, they haven't made any announcements there. All right, see us later on Between the Lines on ESPN Plus, and enjoy Monday Night Football, a special postseason edition